reclusive and an obscured life. They couldn't go to the synagogues. They couldn't go to church. They had to keep their distance away from people. They had to stand several feet away from people. Why? Because they were unclean. They had a plague. They had a disease. They were lepers. And we mentioned that in the Bible drama that we do every year, that we see these lepers come in and we look at the lepers and what do we shout?
Lepers!
Stay back, right? Right. They had to. And I'm telling you, it was all because they were not right. And they were quarantined in their own areas. And they only lived with lepers. They only got to talk with lepers. They only got to communicate with lepers. I mean, you know, you're talking with somebody and their fingers are falling off and their ears are falling off and their nose are falling off. They just got to hang around sick folks. Why? Because they had a disease. They were unclean. And here's the case, just like we depicted. Anybody saw a leper coming their way, they had to shout under the law, unclean. Unclean. Everywhere they went, people labeled them and yelled at them and they shouted, stay back, stay away. You're unclean. You'll defile me. You're a leper. You have a disease. You're not welcome here. Shouted as loud as they could to people that just because they had a blemish, just because the priest said they were unclean, there were people that said, you're not welcome here. Because the law of leprosy was this, Leviticus chapter 13, verse number 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be what? He shall be defiled. Why? Because he's unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. He was defiled. He was an outcast. He could not come into the camps. If he came in contact with somebody else, they would become defiled and they would become unclean. They were to dwell alone. His clothes were rent. He had to shave his head for the rest of his life. He had to live without the camp. And his lot in life was unclean. When you think about it, everywhere he went, he couldn't get away from who he was. You talk about somebody being depressed. Talk about somebody being discouraged. Talk about somebody that really feels inferior and shy and just doesn't like it because everybody, nobody wanted them. And everybody shouted, stay back because you're unclean. And yet we find where the multitudes came, the multitudes followed the Lord. Because before the earlier chapter, Jesus was teaching the Beatitudes. And everybody loved it. And they wanted to follow him because he taught like he had authority. And so he's walking his way and the multitudes are coming after him. And the Bible says there was a man. Bible doesn't even give a name. Just says the Bible says there was a leper. And we find him making his way to Jesus. I submit to you today that he knew he had no right to come there. He knew that he was unworthy just to be in his presence. He knew that he was banned from the camps. He knew he could not come into the courts. And this certain leper understood this fact, that he couldn't do it by himself. And he couldn't make it by himself. And he couldn't get better by himself. And he couldn't be healed by himself. And he couldn't be set free by himself. So this leper, this unclean, defiled, dirty, diseased individual makes up his mind, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I sound like. I don't care what people are going to say about me. I don't care what the law says. I know I can't come in contact with people. I know I'm banned from the camp, but I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of the pain and the sleepless nights. I'm tired of hearing those words, unclean, unclean, unclean. I don't know about you tonight, but I can see it unfold as he makes up his mind. I can't do it by myself any longer, Sister Thompson. I can't make it on my own ability. I can't get myself out of this mess. I need him, Brother Andrew, to come through for me. I can't do this by myself, Brother Alex. I need him to put my life back together. I need him to heal my body. I need him to touch my family. I need him to put my marriage back together. I need him to make a way where there seemed to be no way. And I know I don't deserve it. I know I don't belong here according to your standards and according to the law, but I can't do it by myself any longer. But I know that he can. I can't, but he can. I need him. That's what the leopard made up in his mind, that I can't get myself out of this mess, but I do know a God that can. It's powerful to know. As the Bible said, that this leper comes to Jesus in complete faith and worships him and says this: Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Lord, if there's anybody that can do it, you can make me clean. I can't do it, but you can. I can't make this happen, but you can. You can make me clean again. You can heal me clean again. You can save me. You can forgive me. I can't do it, Brother Miller, but you can. Well, I'm here to preach to somebody tonight that you can't do it by yourself, but God can. You can't make it by yourself, but there is a God that can. You can't get out of that mess by yourself, but there is a God that can. You can't even make it happen, but there is a God that can. Hear me tonight, that God can. Whatever you need, whatever you're up against, there is a God that can. Somebody shout that there is a God that can. With men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. There is a God that can. He can do it for you, and he can do it for me. I can't do it, but he can. And notice what this leper already knew. That God could do it. He was just asking to see if he was willing. Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean again. You know what we've got to get tonight, Brother Rincon? Is we've got to get a new revelation on who he is and what he can do. This leper knew that God can. This leper knew the ability of God. He wasn't saying, God, can you do it? I don't know if you can. He was saying, God, I know you can, but will you? Somebody's got to have enough faith to believe that there is a God that really is concerned about you. Somebody's got to have enough faith to believe that there's a God that can get you up out of that mess, that God can put your life back together, that God can make a way where there seemed to be no way. You can't do it, but God can. And I tell you tonight, he's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than that thing that you're facing. He's bigger than that obstacle. He's bigger than the doctor's report. There is a God that can. You can't, but God can. That's got to get birthed inside your spirit and inside your soul. Yet tomorrow you face all hell that comes against you, and you face this and that, but you got to get in your mind, I can't do it, but he can. I can't make a way, but he can. There is a God that is fighting for me. Zechariah said, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. Notice the lepers asking the Lord, wilt thou, Lord, make me whole? Notice what Jesus does. And notice what Jesus did not do. See, we know that God, all God has to do is speak a word. Everything that comes and everything that goes, he speaks a word. He walked to the bow of the ship, and the storm was raising and the wind was blowing. And what'd he do? Peace be still. He could just speak a word. But Brother Juarez, he did not speak a word first here. He did something that nobody else was willing to do. See, everybody was supposed to keep their distance from the lepers. Everybody was saying, you're unclean, stay back, you can't be around here, you don't belong in this house, you don't belong in this church, you don't look right, you don't smell right, you don't act right, you don't belong. And the leper said, if thou will, you can make me clean. And the Bible said, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Could you imagine that, Brother Miller? Nobody was supposed to touch a leper. Nobody was supposed to get close enough. Because if they did, they became defiled. But there was a God that knew what nobody else could do. And he stepped back then. He stepped over the law. And he reached out and he touched the leper. And he said, I will. I'm telling you, you serve a God that can. You can. Man can. But there's a God that can. There's nothing like his touch. Nothing like when God truly touches your life. You look up that word touch in the Webster Dictionary, Brother Ray, it says to leave a mark on or an impression on. And I don't know about you, but when God touched me, he left a mark on me. He left an impression on me. And I wish I could stand up here tonight and tell you that when he touched me for the very first time, that I lived for him the rest of my life. It was not the case. But because he touched me at an early age, and when I wasn't doing right, I remembered the touch because I remembered the mark. I remembered the impression that he made on my life. That seed that was planted there. And that's what happened to the leper. The Lord reached out and he left a mark on him. He left an impression on him. What man could not do, God did. What a priest could not do, God did. See, the priest, all he could say was clean or unclean. Couldn't touch you. Couldn't get close to you. Had to shut you up even for 7 days. To make sure that was either a scab or leprosy. If it was a scab, you had 7 days and you're going to clean up and you're going to get better. But if it wasn't a scab, you're a leper and you're shut out. He didn't want to get near you, but yet there was a God that walked past protocol and walked past being sophisticated and walked past just being religious, and he went to the point of that man's need and he began to touch him. That's our Savior. That's our Creator. That's our King. He knelt down to where he was and he touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And Brother Alex, it wasn't next week. It wasn't next year. It wasn't take a pill and call me tomorrow. It was immediately. Something about the touch of the Master. He could turn your life around immediately. Something about an apostolic service. Something about when God comes into your midst and God arrives on your scene. He can tuck the drugs away at one moment. He can take the thirst from alcohol away in one moment, just at the presence of the Master. What man could not do, God can. What money cannot do, God can. What medication cannot do, God can. You serve a God that can. You serve a God that will. You can't, but God can. I don't care what you're facing, God can. I don't care what you're up against, God can. I don't care how many people told you it'll never happen, there is a God that can. Somebody ought to clap your hands unto the Lord. Somebody ought to lift up your voice. Forget about the naysayers. Forget about the unbelievers. Forget about the doubters. That'll tell you it'll never happen. God will never touch you. God will never forgive you. God will never raise you up. God will never anoint you. God will never do this, do that. Forget about what they say, because God can. You can't, but God can. He could put your marriage back together. He could put your home back together. He could put your finances back together. He could put your kids back together. He can give you ministry. He can give you purpose. He can make a way, Sister Miller, where there seemed to be no way. He could bring my prodigal baby home. He could bring my lost loved ones home. I can't do it, but God can. I think that's why the word says something like, we water and we plant, but it's God that gives the increase. You can't do it, but God can. I could care less how somebody could just come behind a pulpit and just wax eloquently. If God's not in it, nothing's going to happen. That you get somebody under the power of the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost, God could move on them even if they butcher up the English dictionary, even if they don't even make any sense or form a proper sentence. If God is in it, anything can happen. It's not you, it's God. And the moment we think it's us, we've missed it. That's why the leper realized, I know I'm not supposed to be here. But if I sit here, I'm going to die. If I do what I've always done, I'm going to die. I've been praying prayers and things haven't happened. But God, I'm going to step out into the impossibility realm. I haven't really been faithful in my giving. But God, I'm going to step out and I'm going to become faithful, because my finances are in a mess. My finances are in disarray. But God, I'm going to prove you. I'm going to allow you to orchestrate my life. I'm going to allow you to control my life. You say, Pastor, it's about the money. No, it's about your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If somebody gets the big head, it's me. I'm the one that does it. I'm the one that makes a way. Then God can never make a way for you. And you're wondering why all this has happened. Because you've put God out of the equation. God's just a Sunday, Wednesday deal. He's just a Monday night prayer. But you don't pray and you have no devotion at home. And God's saying, hello? Why are you going through the motions? Why are you just playing church? I mean, you look in the book of Revelation chapter 3. It talks about a church, the Laodicean church, that they found a way to have church without God. And the Bible says they had no idea. They were miserable, wretched, poor, naked, and blind. They somehow put Jesus on the outside. And the Lord was knocking on the door saying, "Yoo-hoo, you can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. You gotta have me in your life." But notice what he'll never do. He'll never kick down that door. He'll never force you to do anything. That's why you gotta have the power and the gumption to make up your mind and make that choice, as Joshua stated, "As for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord." I know I haven't done everything great, Brother Andrew. I know my last name doesn't look the greatest. I know I have past and failures in my life, but there's a God, Brother Bubba. There's a God that's never given up on me. There's a God that believes in me. There's a God that can pick me up. And I know I can't do it by myself, but there's a God that can. I'm here to preach to somebody. You can't do it by yourself, but there's a God that can. Have to get our eyes off the problem, and we have to get our eyes on him. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 says this: "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." It's faith. You got to have faith. You got to believe that he is, and he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. "Hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." Because it doesn't pencil out. It doesn't make sense to the carnal man, and it's not supposed to make sense to the carnal man, because the carnal man does not know how to discern the things of the Spirit. That's why you've got to let faith activate, and you've got to let your spirit begin to soar, because there's something about to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that what? Works in us. I didn't say your power. I didn't say your looks. I didn't say your bank account. I didn't say your ability. But I said the power that works in us. That power is the Holy Ghost that will lead and guide us into all truth. The Holy Ghost that will be that stronghold. The Holy Ghost that will get us out of the pit and out of the problem and out of despair. Because we can't do it by ourselves. But the power that works through us. There is a God that. You read in that chapter, the very next person, Sister Rincon, was a Roman centurion. He said, "I'm a man of authority. I say a word, it gets done." That'd be kind of nice. Say a word, boom. Where's my tea? Where's my milk? Where's my biscuits? I need to try that at home. Hallelujah. Just kidding. Pray for me, God. You can, I can't, but you can. But the Roman centurion said, "Just speak the word. I can't do this." Lord said, "I'll come to your house." "No, just give me the word. I can't do it, but you can." You got to get that in your heart. I don't care what you're up against, God. I can't do this by myself. You said in your word, when I'm weak, you're strong. You said the battle's not mine, but the battle's yours. God, I need you to fight my battle. God said at that self same hour, servant was healed. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 long years. 12 years. 12 years. 12 years. My goodness, some of you can't even go a day or a week in your trial. This woman, 12 years. She suffered. She was in pain. She spent all that she had. And she got worse because she tried to do it by herself. And if that's what you want your lot to be in life, God says, it's your choice. Whatever you want to do, you can go out and blow it all. Come back in, I'll love you. But you ain't going to have much when you come back in. He said, a little 411 and a tap at your door. If you'll open up, you can keep what you got, and I'll bless you with more. You think you're going to be given? No, you're just going to bring it into me because I'm about to open up windows of a blessing upon you. You won't even be able to contain it. You just got to trust in me because you can't do it. But I can. I can give you a promotion. I can give you a raise. I can give you a shield of anointing and a shield of favor. And you stand back and say, wow, how in the world did this happen? How did that unfold? I wasn't qualified. God said, you weren't qualified, but there's something in you. There's a power working in you that made you become qualified. That's why the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 12 long years. Sister Denise, she suffered. And God could have said, you know, I told you. I told you should have went there. I told you shouldn't be involved. No, he didn't do that. You know, I could almost, without even questioning, that even kind of speculate. God already knew that woman was walking up behind her. He already knew that woman was going to touch the hem of it. That didn't catch him by surprise. He knew it was coming. And he didn't turn around and say, who touched me? Because he didn't know. He wanted others to see what just happened and what just transpired. He wanted that woman to begin to publish, hey, I was the one that had the issue. I was the one that was the outcast. I was the one unclean. I was the one that nobody wanted around. But God, you touched me. I've got blood again flowing. I've got strength again flowing. I've got you working on the inside. And God saying, you can't, but I can. Tonight, that's what I'm... I hope I don't sound redundant, but there is a God that can, and you can't. The times you let go of those reins and understand that fact, the time that God will begin to bless you. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know we're supposed to be more low-key and religious and sophisticated. But I made up my mind that when I come to church, I don't come to play church. I come in to get in contact with my master. So I'm telling you, there's some of you tonight that has faced junk and faced turmoil, heartache and pain. There's a world that's telling you you can't do it. You'll never be saved and God will never bless you and God will never do this. That's a lie from hell. You got to make up your mind. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know I can't do it. I know Pastor can't do it. But I know you can, God. It was on a Wednesday night. Brother Andrew, I don't know how many years ago, baby, it was many years ago, I hurt my back. Bishop May remember, Millers remember, they'd go over to the Grogan's house and we'd play cards and I was on the floor and we'd play Rook and I was on the floor, had my feet on the chair, laying back. I remember buying my first house and I was at the design table laying on the floor, putting my feet up. Because I'm telling you, when you're in pain, you don't care what you look like. When you just want relief. My wife's like, won't you straighten up? I wish I could. I still haven't straightened up. But I remember on a Wednesday night, hobbling and walking this way. I know I said the story before, but I want to hit home again because it's Wednesday night. And I began to pray a simple prayer. God, I know I hurt my back playing softball, trying to be the king, trying to be Babe Ruth. I wasn't Babe Ruth. I was trying to knock him over the fence, and I couldn't knock him over the fence. But I remember I swung so hard, and I heard a my back popped. And for 6 months, I walked like this. My wife had to dress me, had to put shoes. I couldn't. I mean, I was in little pain. And I won't tell you one thing that she tried to do when I was at her parents' house. Maybe we will later, not tonight. But I remember coming over here and saying, God, I know you're a healer. I've heard you preached that you're a healer. I've preached that you're a healer. I've sung you're a healer. And God, I need you to heal my back. I need you to take away the pain. I said, God, if you'll heal me, I'll believe you're a healer. If you heal me, I'll preach that you're a healer. It was right about here. And then I changed my prayer. And I said, God, if you don't heal me, I'll still believe you're a healer. If you don't heal me, I'll still preach about you're a healer. You don't have to heal me, God, for me to believe that you're a healer. But God, if you could just heal me, because I can't do it. Doctor says cage fusion surgery, but God, I don't want surgery. I want your surgery. I know that you can. And I wish to say that I felt it like that. Some of you have that miracle that God just, even when you got the Holy Ghost, you go flying out. Never had that happen. It just, maybe one day, Brother Martin, God will hit me from here and I'll hit the wall and bounce. Maybe like a pinball. Just hadn't happened yet. But Brother Roy, I remember 3 days later, by Bishop's table, and I just stand at the table and it hit me. And I said, man, I haven't felt pain anymore. Matter of fact, I'm straight. And I ran out the door and I ran back and my wife goes, why'd you run? I said, because I can. Because God healed me. I couldn't do it. Medication could not do it. The doctor could not do it. But there was a God that can. So I'm preaching to you on this Wednesday night. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what you're facing. There's a God that does. And there's a God that wants to scream and shout this. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. You're not fighting this alone. Let me in because I can. I will. I give you everything that you need. Because you can't do it. But God can. What do you say? You step out your pew. What do you say? We just line up the front of these altars with our hands raised, saying, God, I'm in need of your touch tonight. I'm in need of your presence tonight. God, you know what I'm up against. You know what I'm facing. And I can't do this by myself. You know there's bills that are due. And there's no money in the bank. And God, I need you to come through. Come on. You can't do it. But God can. You can't get yourself out of that mess, but God can. There is a God. There is a God. There is a God.
So touch me now.
That can. That will. Come on. Speak life. Speak life into your situation. If you will, God. If you'll get me out of this. If you'll touch me. If you'll bring me out. Come on. Lay your hand on somebody. Hallelujah. Yes. God can. God can. God can. He can make a way.
Just double time.
So touch me now. Touch me now. I believe the impossible.
God, I believe in you. I trust in you. In Jesus. Yes. You can do it, God. You can do it, God. You can turn me around. You can make a way where there seemed to be no way. You can put my home back together. You can put my marriage back together. It can be a godly home again. Raise me up. I believe in you. I believe. I believe. I believe. Yes. Make a way. Make a way, God. Nothing like your name.